How many of you want to hear from God? How many raise your hands? Okay, very good. Balcony, some of you don't want to hear from God. Doug, thanks for raising your hand, man. You want to hear from God, you want to know God's will. Let me just share with you, you may not want to do what God asks you to do. Just want you to know that. We're in a new series, I told you last week, Jonah, a big fish story is what I'm preaching for the next 4 weeks, counting today. This is week number one. And in first service, you know, I was blowing their mind by wearing this morning. And they only one person said, "Hey, you look pretty comfortable today." And I loved it. I smiled and said, "You are the only one that had courage enough to ask me about why I'm wearing this." So I got a little whale on my pocket here, but I want you to know I got a big whale on the back. And I was Eastering with some folks from our church, and I noticed that the guy had a little whale insignia, and I said, "Man, that's really cool." And his baby also, probably about a year old toddler, had a little whale. I said, "That's kind of cool. I never heard of Vineyard Vines." And I said that today to one of the guys, and he said, "Yeah, that's kind of a bougie thing, Chris." And I'm not known for my bouginess, by the way. So, yeah, I am comfortable. There is a purpose behind what I'm wearing today. And I just want to say this is a whale of a shirt. And I just appreciate they loaned. This is a loaner. It's not a keeper. Yes, it's too big for me. I have a medium body, which I wear large shirts, and this is double XL. So, yeah, I am swimming in it, if you will. Okay? So I asked the question in first service. I'm going to ask you the question this morning. Who is the main character of Jonah?
Jonah.
It is. First service got it. It doesn't sound like you're a little frightened. Let me tell you, it's not Jonah, and it's not the big fish. It is God. God is the main character. In fact, the only name that is in the Bible, in the book of Jonah, is Jonah. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah, the word of the Lord came to him. God is a God who speaks, and God still speaks today. As I preached a few weeks ago about the Holy Spirit, if you are a believer, resides inside of you and speaks to you, and God speaks to you today. Now, you have to reduce the noise of your life to hear Him, but I want to give you a warning. This is kind of like a dashboard warning on your dashboard in your car. When God tells you to do something, it might not be what you feel like doing. It might not be, and that's okay. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like it, but you need to do it. Look at verses 1 and 2. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.'" This is a big deal. But what does Jonah do? It says, "Arise and go to Nineveh," but what does Jonah do? Look at verse 3. "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish," think Spain, Tarshish equates with the area that Spain is today, pretty nice place, "from the presence of the Lord." That's a big deal. Do you think that Jonah could outrun the presence of the Lord? No. "He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." That's crazy. Jonah ran from God as far as possible in the other direction, as far as possible. God says to go to Nineveh, 550 miles east. That's a long way, but instead Jonah went to Tarshish, Spain, 2,500 miles west. That was his destination. But we know the story. We know that he doesn't get there. Jonah found a ship going to Tarshish. How lucky was he? Understand this, Christian. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. And as your preacher, let me just say, the devil has offered me a lot of rides in my life, and I'm sure he has you. But as a Christian, we say, no, I'm not going there. Why did Jonah run? That's a big question. It's kind of a legitimate reason. Jonah hated Nineveh. Jonah hated Nineveh, and he had good reason to hate Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And don't get Assyria confused with Syria of today. Assyria was kind of Turkey and surrounding around Turkey, Asia Minor, that area. And the Assyrians were barbaric. They were evil to the core. They were pagans. If they conquered you, they would kill children, they would kill women, they would sexually abuse. They had horrific, horrific tortures. Graphic. Awful. But here's the deal. Jonah was a prophet of God. He knew God. When he heard God, he knew God meant business, and he knew the character of God. Jonah knew God's character, how great he was, how compassionate, how gracious he was. Jonah didn't want to forgive his enemies. He just didn't want to forgive them for what they had done. There was personal impact there. You ever have enemies that you don't want to forgive? You ever hold a grudge? I have. I've had to repent. So Jonah ran. Jonah disobeyed God. Jonah rationalized his disobedience. And the Assyrians didn't, this is what he said, the Assyrians didn't deserve it, so I'm not doing it, God. I'm not going to do it. Ever rationalize sin in your life? I have. I know some of you are saying, well, I don't. I never do. If you're in that moment and saying that to yourself, I just want you to know you're self-deceived. You're not being self-aware. We all do that all the time. We don't even realize it. Here's rationalization. Here's what it means. When our mind makes an excuse for what our spirit knows is wrong, we know that there's something that just isn't right inside of us. There's something wrong there, but we've rationalized it. But we're not getting away with it. God asked you to do something. He's telling you. But understand this. Delayed obedience is disobedience every time. Now, I smile at you because when you hear God speak to you and you do and you obey what he says, you're going to end up places that you don't imagine, and you're thinking, did I hear that right? God, is that really what you wanted me to do? And when I was younger, I would just do it. And I would just do it. And I'd end up in this place, and I'm thinking, that wasn't very smart, Chris, but that is exactly what God told you to do. And it doesn't always mean it's going to be easy, but it's where God wants you to be. And that's hard. And I look around and I think, you know, other people aren't doing what I'm doing. Even today, I'm just realizing other people hear the same voice and are told to do the same things. They just don't do them. They're sort of like Jonah. And I do that sometimes too. Just want you to know, just being real. But get this, what is spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity is a short time between God's command and our obedience. Sometimes I don't think being thoughtful at my age, even though it's discerning, I still need to obey, even though I know, I don't really want to do that. When Jonah started running from God, his life started to go downhill. Downhill. Look at this. Jonah went down to Joppa. Down. Jonah went down to the bottom of the ship. Down. In chapter 2 that we're not going to get there today, Jonah was thrown down to the bottom of the sea. Jonah went down, down, down. But look at verse 4 and 5 of this passage. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and lying down and was fast asleep. It's pretty scary when pagans are so afraid they start praying. It's pretty scary when pagans start to pray. I have people that don't believe in God ask me to pray for them all the time. I just find it fascinating. I do. It's kind of crazy. Pastor, will you pray for me? Sure, I will. Why am I praying for you? Because you don't believe in God. But you do. That makes no sense at all. And sometimes when I'm led by the Lord and the Lord speaks to me and I just, you know, when I'm told, you know, go ahead and do this, Chris. And it's scary. I'm telling you, when you speak for God, it's scary. I overthink this a lot. I just want, when God tells me just say something, I don't do it lightly because I'm thinking, you know, the blood guilt is on my head if I don't. But if I do and it doesn't work out, I'm a false prophet. So it's a no-win for a preacher a lot of times. But when God tells me to say something or say, I just want, you know, I'll say this every once in a while, very rarely, I just want to demonstrate God's power. I just want to demonstrate God's power. I'm going to pray for you, and I just believe God's going to answer this prayer, and he's going to demonstrate his power in this prayer, through this prayer. And it's not me, it's God. Just get that, because, and I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go again. And I won't think about it. I'll just do it. And please don't, you know, it's so scary. Okay, God, you told me, and I'm doing this, but boy, you got to come through for me, because you know, credibility is everything to me. And one time, I think I've told this story before, and I didn't share this for service. I was youth pastor, and I had a kid in the youth group, and she drifted, and she had this little youth group, and they were at this house, and they were partying, and one of the people had not Ouija board, thanks, had a familiar spirit, had invited the spirit into his life, and they all were at Hardee's, and this has been years ago. This is just one demonstration, and so they were all there, their little group, and they called me in the middle of the night, and Stacy looked at me and said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, it's just something really weird," and they wanted me to meet them out in the house or something like that. I said, "I'm not going there." Hardee's was the only place that was open 24 hours a day. And I said, "I'll meet you in Hardee's." So there were about 15 kids. It was like their own little youth group that was meeting. I thought, this is kind of cool. And so started talking, and they talked about this familiar spirit. I know that this is kind of crazy. And so I just said, "Tell me about it and what was going on." And somebody had given, you know, had made a blood pact with the devil and had given their soul to the devil. And I said, "Do you want the devil, you know, do you want to be released from that? Do you want to come to the Lord?" And they said, "No." I said, "Okay." And so the Lord told me, he said, "You know, demonstrate my power, Chris." And I just prayed. I said, "God, you know, I'm just going to show you for tonight that God has power over any demon oppression, possession, obsession that you have." And this was real risky. I don't say this. I mean, and so I just prayed over them. And I said, "God, just show your power. Just show your power over this situation." And, you know, I never heard from them again until, a few years later. And one of the little girls that had been with them, she came into my office. I was at the back door of the old church at the time, came in the back door of my office one day and said, "Do you remember who I am?" And I said, "No, sorry, I don't remember you." She said, "I was one of the girls in that group." I said, I always wondered what had happened. And she said, "You know, nothing happened that night. It was dead still." And I just laughed. And you know what? She still had familiar spirits connected to her because of what she practiced. What I want to just share with you is that God demonstrates his power in your life if you allow it. But you have to listen to what God says. You got to do what he says. And it's scary at times. Like I said, I don't do that very often because it just freaks me out myself. Okay? Notice in this passage, the sailors, the innocent, if you will, pagans, suffer for Jonah's sin, for running away from God. Now, here's the deal. Some of you have some people in your life that are receiving consequences, and you are innocently going to receive consequences in your life because you're associated with them. It could be a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, lover, significant other. It could be anyone in your life that is leading you away from the Lord. So this is a wrong person that you have in the boat, just like those pagan sailors had a wrong person in their boat, happened to be a prophet of God. Now, this is what you do. You throw the wrong person off the boat. You get that person out of your life. And you stop following anyone leading you from God. Anyone. Whether prophet, priest, preacher, or whoever. Now, I want you to think about what is Jonah doing while all this is happening, while this is going on. Jonah is sound asleep in the bottom of the boat. He's sleeping. And Jonah's life is going down, 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 and he didn't even know it. That's how unself-aware he was. That's how far gone he was. And it's a scary place becoming comfortable with disobeying God. Scary, scary place. Scary. You can be too comfortable. Are you like Jonah, comfortable with compromise? When you know God and you run from God, it's a scary situation. And it means you're spiritually complacent when you're not obeying God, when he tells you what he tells you to do. And let me just say, in this scripture, the good news is not going to feel like good news. It just doesn't. I want you to know this, that God loves you so much that he won't let you get comfortable with sin and compromise. There is always, always a consequence. He doesn't let you off the hook because he's pursuing you. And so what does God do? He sends a storm, a literal storm, while Jonah's on the boat. Now, was God being mean, or was this kindness of God doing this to Jonah? And I want you to understand this. Sometimes God sends a storm in your life. Sometimes God allows a storm in your life. And other times, sometimes you bring the storm on yourself. That's painful to hear. That we're receiving the consequences, the storms in your life. Have you ever had a friend, a loved one, a person that you knew, maybe a coworker or a neighbor, someone that you're associated with, and you're looking at them, and they're not asking you anything, and you're looking at them, and you're saying, bad decision. Bad decision. That's going to hurt. And they're going down, down, down. And then they come to you, and they've rationalized it all, and you want to be compassionate, you want to be their friend, you don't want to lose their relationship, but you have to speak into their lives. And say, well, you did this. You did this. And they rationalize. And they know, you know that they can't hear you. But they're experiencing the consequences. Sin always has consequences. And here's the deal. My friends that go down those roads, they blame every storm on the devil. But the storms, they're bringing on themselves. We bring them on ourselves. That's crazy. Now, in the story of Jonah, which I believe, I mean, it's a true story. This is history. Jonah's mentioned in 1 or 2 Kings 14, and also Jesus talks about Jonah. Jesus believed Jonah existed. This is not just a big fish story. It's way beyond that. But everyone on the boat realizes it's Jonah's fault. They know who it is. They cast lots. And in Jonah, verse 8, 9, he says, then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and of what people are you? And he said to them, I'm a Hebrew and I fear God, or I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Jonah knew who he served. Jonah says this, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord. Jonah says he worships the God of all creation, but he does not obey him. Isn't that crazy? This represents one of the biggest problems in our churches. We claim to love God and we don't obey him. We can't do that. It's not going to work. So I have to ask you this question kindly. Where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? And then the scripture goes on. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked Jonah, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? And what does he say? This is the last thing I would have said. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Jonah knew. Now, I've been fortunate to be on a couple cruises, and on the cruise ships, I mean, you were way above the water, 40, 50 feet. It's a long way down there. And I'm assuming on Jonah's boat it wasn't quite as far. But I know if you go overboard, you're done. You're going to die. But Jonah is saying, throw me overboard. It's heartbreaking. God chose Jonah. God called Jonah. Jonah ran from God. Did it make his life better? No. It's going downhill. Down, down, down. Now, there's someone here. God chose you, God called you, and you're running from God. Now you're stuck in a storm. God's calling you back. Jonah says, it's my fault. Throw me into the sea. Throw me into the sea. I don't want to live. Jonah was God's chosen prophet. So far from God, so depressed, he doesn't care if he lives or dies. There's someone here, I know, either watching online today or here in this room, you're in a place where you never wanted to be. And you're far from God. You've been disobedient. You've rationalized. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're hopeless. Maybe you see no way out and you aren't sure life's worth it. Let me just say to you, God's not finished with you. God's got that storm in place for you. He wants to work in your life. I'm thankful that the main character is not Jonah in this story. That the main character is an all-powerful, all-loving, a gracious God, kind and compassionate. Now, when the men hear this in the boat, when the crew hears this, they tried to row to safety. They didn't want to do what Jonah said. The storm got worse as they tried, and they had no choice. And yet I'm sure they didn't want to do it. Look at verse 15 and 16. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. A God who can do this is a God we need to know and worship. Any God that powerful, we must know and worship him. Let me tell you about the true God. He knows you. He loves you. He sends his spirit inside of you. He's your greatest cheerleader. He is the creator God. He's beyond all time and space. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. And for us that are follically challenged, he knows that too. He loves you like crazy. He wants the best for you. But his counterpart, the devil, who's not an equal, which is much lesser, limited by time and space, hates you. He comes to steal and kill and destroy you. And Jesus came to give you life, life to the full, abundant life. Let me just say this. When you seek God, you will find him. He is a good, good God. He is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. You are never alone. A God who is like that is a God you want to know, worship, fear, and obey. And when I say fear, not to be afraid of, but to reverence, because he's a holy God. Now, Jonah's thrown overboard, and it appears his life is coming to an end. Why? Because the word of the Lord came and he ran from God. What has the word of the Lord said to you? What is he saying to you right now? Where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? Now, for some of you, you've never known God. You need to turn to God to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you strayed away from God, you need to stop running and turn to him. He is pursuing you. The storms are there to stop you. And maybe you've known God or know him and you love God and you've drifted. That's a scary place too. And you're in the drift. And I would challenge you and encourage you to come back to him, to draw near to him. I do know this. I have no reservations in saying this. God says it's time to stop running. Stop running and turn to him. Aren't you grateful that we have a loving, kind, and compassionate God? Will you please stand as I pray? Eternal God and Father, we are grateful and thankful for your love for us, for your compassion for us, and that when we run from you, there is nowhere that we can run that's outside of your presence. There is no place to hide. There is no place that you aren't. And we are thankful, Father, for that. Father, we just ask just now, for those that don't know you, that they would come to know you. They would hear your voice, your spirit, gently knocking at the door of their heart. Jesus knocking at the door of their heart to enter in. Father, for those that are running from you, who know you, and like Jonah, are going the exact opposite direction that they know they should. Father, I just pray that you would stop them and they would wake up and know what's going on and see it for themselves, to get out of that storm and come running to you. And Father, for those of us that are drifting, that have become a little complacent in a relationship with you, Father, I pray that you'd rekindle the heart and the desire, that we'd be a people, a person after your own heart. Father, we just thank you that you're a God that still speaks, that tells us. And Father, it's scary. It's scary at times to hear your voice and know, wow, I don't know if I want to do that or not, but I know I should. Give us the ability and desire, the grace that we need to obey you. And Father, we just lay that all out before you, believing that you're a kind, compassionate, and forgiving God. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.